Hey, you guys. Yeah. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, this is a great flick. This is this flick here is Nicolas Cage playing Luke Skywalker. He looks just like the Luke Skywalker from the new
series. That didn't really occur to me. To me, Nicolas Cage always just looks like Nicolas Cage. And that's a good thing.
He's starting to look like Mark Hamill now.
Nicolas Cage, you guys, Nicolas Cage is a national fucking treasure. I know he was in National Treasure. I didn't mean it like that. But you know what I mean? In the same way, I kind of feel like he's gotten to a place, much like Keanu Reeves or something like that, where he's kind of like a beloved, like who the fuck doesn't love Nicolas Cage? Come on.
This motherfucker's wild.
But, well, the cool thing about this movie, though, and I kind of feel like I said, I admire the shit out of Nicolas Cage just because he really seems to, I mean, he's been in some terrible movies, he's been in some great movies.
He's got to work, man, he's got to pay those bills.
But the thing about it, though, is that he really seems to love acting for the sake of the art form.
He doesn't phone it in, he fucking gives it his all.
Absolutely.
I mean, there were some of them that we saw where it was kind of like, one of them we saw was like a Predator ripoff. It was also kind of like a Chinese martial arts movie all mixed.
Remember that. What the hell was the name of that thing?
I forgot. That shit was terrible. But he was the only
good thing. Well, he was good in it.
He was the only rest good thing about sucks. The movie. Yeah. It was like a first-person shooter movie.
I can't remember what the name of that movie was.
It was wild, man.
I don't know. We watched it on.
It was just like a Predator ripoff.
Pretty much, yeah.
It was good, though. That Into the Badlands ripoff, he did a good job in it. I didn't like that movie either. I mean,
he'll be in some weird shit. And like I said, I like actors that'll do that though. I like actors that will take a chance on some bizarre ass movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it, like you said, don't phone it in. I mean, we said kind of the same thing about David Warner yesterday. He wasn't really in crazy shit, but sometimes he would be in you know, real crappy like bottom of the barrel stuff, but he never like
He would class it up.
Yeah. So and I always kind of feel like as an actor, cuz look, hey man, we all got to eat, okay?
Right, yeah.
You know, everybody has had to take jobs that they don't like. So, you know, mad respect. And just going in there and actually like doing your best and like working hard at it and just not making a joke out of the whole thing. Like I said, that gets a lot of respect. Even if the movie sucks, that's going to get a lot of respect.
Nicolas Cage is the exact opposite of what's his name?
I have no idea who you're talking about right now.
Steven Seagal. He's the exact opposite of Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal will phone it in on his own fucking movie. His own project.
He's not even going to walk in. He's going to
have a fucking stunt double. He won't even do the voices in his own projects. I have somebody else dub it.
I think we're getting to a point where we're just going to see a Steven Seagal movie that just has like a picture of him and they're just going to wave it in front of the camera.
Yeah, they're going to, nah, this is where he's at. It's just going to have some writing underneath.
Or they're going to like draw a picture
of him. Subtitles. Just subtitles. There isn't even any voice acting.
But, you know, we shit on Steven Seagal, but, I mean, he's so shit-onable. But we only say that, like, to contrast it with, like I said, with Nicolas Cage, who seems like a delightful human being. He's nuts, sure, but nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. We're all a little nuts.
This is, movie is done by a first-time director.
It is.
And it's an excellent movie. It's shot real well. It's kind of pulls you in. It fucks up your expectations a lot because...
That's the best thing about it, I thought.
And they're doing it on purpose. The movie's kind of, in a way, trolling you because you go, oh, okay, this is Nicolas Cage doing a fucking... what's the name of that damn movie where he's where he's avenging the dog?
Yeah, John Wick.
John Wick. You go like, oh, this is kind of like him.
Everybody
doing
thought
Wick.
That this was going to be John Wick with a pig.
And they know you're expecting that.
Yes.
So they fuck with your mind. This shit's all sensitive and shit. It's just fucking... It's funny.
It's like the anti-John Wick. It's pretty much like the same story.
Same story.
Kind of.
More realism. What would he really do?
I was watching... There's this really good... I can't remember who did it. I think it's called In Frame Out channel. And he did like a 14-minute like video essay on this. And he said a really interesting thing. He said... You know, at movies like Taken or John Wick or something like that, which this seemingly is modeled after, like, if you just read a plot synopsis, you think it's going to go that way. And he's like, where it's a vengeance narrative. And so, you know, people have certain expectations about that. But this one is kind of like the anti thing of that, where it's like the yeah. same story, but instead of going and like whooping ass on all the people that fucked him over, he basically just goes and gives them like compassion.
Yeah, and outcooks them. And shit.
Like, well, and that too, yeah.
He's like a Gordon Ramsay in a way,
but not a dick. He's not,
he's kind of hard. He's fucking tough.
But he's tough. But he's like that he says is out of compassion out of for the person.
Yeah. It's and you don't expect it.
Yeah,
so everything is like fucking. You know, like what? And but no, he's a tough guy living up in the mountains, and he's got this damn truffle pig that can fucking find these expensive truffles. And you have a guy whose dad owns a damn real high-end restaurant who's coming up there and buying those truffles from him. And he's up there making fucking... It looks like he's on the edge of survival living in a damn shack.
Like up in Oregon.
Yeah. But then, like, they'll have a whole scene where he's, like, doing something, and it looks all hardcore, and then he's making a damn truffle tart.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it's like boom, like he did some fucking, like he did some action.
I love
shit.
It. Well, I love anything to do. I love anything to do with like the culinary world, like anything to do with cooking. I'm like really into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I really like, and I like that this movie approaches it like the art world, like the high end art world, because I like movies that are set in that framework as well.
Yeah, there's an element of kind of like organized, almost kind of like borderline organized crime behind it, and. You know, trying to steal shit so they can have a better menu this season. It just,
Think is a little bit. It's a little bit exaggerated, but I'm sure that shit does happen because there are people. Actually, I didn't see it, but I heard a lot about. I don't know if it was like right around the same time this came out or like a few months before. A documentary came out called The Truffle Hunters, and it was basically about people that do what Nicolas Cage does in this movie, where they just kind of like live and they have like not necessarily pay, a lot of them use dogs as well too, or you know, where they look for truffles and then sell them to you know to the highest bidder or whatever.
I looked at the reviews of this, and it's well reviewed. Everybody liked it. And what's funny is that, like, the reviews are saying, like, this movie is awesome. It is action packed. They're fucking trolling you. All right. Every fucking action scene has been replaced by him having a serious talk with somebody or him fucking cooking some shit.
Well, it's like I.
But
well,
they portray it as if it was an action.
Yeah, but that's see, that's what I like about it though, because it's almost kind of like some of the stuff that he says, you know, in a more traditional like revenge flick, like John Wick or Taken or something like that. It would be like you know an ass kicking, but it's almost like a verbal ass kicking,
right,
not in a mean way. Like I said, he means it with love.
Yeah. It's worth watching. It's an entertaining movie. It's a pretty movie. And it looks really good.
Yeah, I kind of feel like don't go into it thinking it's going to be, like I said, you know, John Wick with a pig, because it is totally not that. It's almost kind of like the opposite of that. So it
knows you're expecting that.
Yeah, and so it goes into, but I have to say that the story behind it, like him going to find this pig, which honestly, he goes out into the woods, like the backstory that he has, which a lot of it is filled in really nice, like really organically. Like they just give you like a little bit of information at a time.
Yeah.
And apparently back in the day, he was this massively known chef, like in Portland, you know, in the foodie scene, he was like legendary, like everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
And then like after his wife dies, he disappears, he goes and lives in isolation out in the cabin. So it's almost kind of like this pig, which doesn't really mean anything to anyone else other than as a commodity, you know, because it can find truffles. But to him, he didn't really care about that. The pig was the only thing left that he cared about.
Yeah, he loves
and
the
so, you know what I mean? In much the same way that John Wick, you know, cared
like
about
the
puppy.
Yeah.
Although I kind of feel like in John Wick, he loved the puppy, but he loved the puppy more as a representation because it was like the last thing that his wife gave him before she was killed. Whereas in this... Nicolas Cage actually does love this pig. It's his companion.
Yeah.
And so...
He's not having sex with the pig.
No, yeah, I don't mean it like that. Yeah, it's platonic.
They accuse him of that.
They do. I mean, they would in real life, so that's why.
No, he just loves... The pig's his buddy.
Yeah, he definitely loves this pig. He takes, you know, so they show like some scenes of him at the beginning, like making food for the pig.
Yeah, share and eat with
it
pig.
Is. I have to say, it's an adorable pig.
Yeah, it's a little.
It's a little fuzzy pig.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
pig.
It's so cute. Yeah. I don't even. Is that a potbelly pig?
I think it's a potbelly pig.
I thought See, I don't know. I don't know what species pig that is.
It's not a big
is.
Pig. It's the size of a small dog.
Yeah, and it's kind of fuzzy. Like, it has kind of, like, reddish-brown fur.
Yeah.
But, yeah, super cute pig, gotta say. But yeah, so when the pig is pig-napped, you know, abducted by some sketchy individuals.
Yeah.
And then, so he has to go back to Portland.
He's trying to trace back who stole it.
And trying to trace back, like, who stole it and what happened to her. And like I said, along the way, he's sort of, like, revisiting his past. Honestly, the one scene, my favorite scene in this movie was when he goes to that, like, that upper crusty, like, hoity-toity restaurant, Eurydice, I think it's called. And he goes there and he talks to the chef, who worked for him for 2 months, like, a long time ago, like, 10 months.
Feel like,
And he's basically, like, the guy's doing all that, like, fancy fucking nouveau cuisine kind of shit that, like, Gordon Ramsay hates, you know what I mean? Like, look, I put it in a glass globe, and it's, like, all, like, smoke coming out, and it's all
there's
that.
There's no food in it.
And there's no food on it. It's, like, it's all that kind of bullshit. Yeah. And so Nicolas Cage has this very serious, like, talking to with this guy about...
Setting his ass straight.
Yeah, he's like, you know, what happened to... He's like, you know, these people in here, why do you care about these people in this restaurant? They don't care about you. They don't know you. Like, this isn't the kind of shit you wanted to do. I thought you wanted to open a pub. That was your passion. Right. Why didn't you ever do that? So it's just kind of like... I didn't really expect, and I think a lot of people that went into this movie thinking that it was going to be like a traditional like revenge movie didn't realize like how fucking philosophical this shit was going to get. And honestly, it's really affecting.
Yeah, it's the movie is kind of like got a certain zen to it.
Yeah,
and the main character, the chef, ends up kind of like finding the zen and allowing things to remain fucked up in the end. Because everything is as it should be. So that's kind of the lesson. Like that's what I got from it. But he also set a bunch of shit straight. The there is kind of a Buddhist philosophy kind of behind the
definitely
the movie. It is a good watch. It is not action packed in the way. Say, like, John Wick is action-packed.
Well, I mean, John Wick is, like, wall-to-wall action, pretty much.
Right. It's not that kind of action.
No.
It's like emotional action.
That's a good way of putting it, actually. Yeah. Like I said, a lot of times where, you know, the beats in a revenge movie would be an ass-kicking or something.
Right. It's gonna be
somebody
something
gets
else.
Shot in the face.
Yeah.
This will be, like, a stern dressing down.
Yeah.
But I'm making that sound, like, you know, facetious, but I mean it in, like, the best possible way.
Yeah, it is. It does have... It is... Pretty cool. I mean, he's coming out of this shack and he won't fucking bathe. He looks like a damn bum. He's got crusted blood on the side of his face. He looks beat up because he's trying to survive, you know, and there's all these people trying to stop him from finding the fucking pig. And he'll go into this expensive restaurant, you know what I mean, to sit down. They want to throw his ass out and then they realize who he is and all of a sudden he's in charge. And then,
well, yeah, because he's a fucking legend.
Yeah, and then his dirty ass will go back in the damn kitchen and start cooking and shit. You know what I mean? And they're all eating and this motherfucker's filthy. It's just... Which that's all part of the movie.
It's so great.
He could have easily washed.
Yeah.
But for the effects of the movie, he's gonna.
Well, he wanted every
like a
single
fucking bomb.
He wanted every single, you know, thing that life had thrown at him to be reflected.
Yeah.
He wanted everybody to see that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, because at one point he has to go to like this underground fight club type of thing. And he gets punched in the face there. So there is actually a fight in it, but it's not, you know, he just kind of lets himself get punched in the face. I will say, too, that I really like the way the quote-unquote bad guys in the movie, as the movie goes on, like the people that end up kind of being behind, you know, the pig getting stolen, and characters like Amir, who is played by Alex Wolff, who is also great in this, by the way, who at first seem like not real sympathetic because he just seems like this young hotshot. He's got like this really obnoxious like yellow sports car and he kind of seems like insecure about, he comes from a really wealthy family and he's always like listening to tapes about classical music, like trying to class himself up because he feels like he's not good enough for some shit. So there's always that kind of thing. So he seems not kind of obnoxious at first, but then as the movie goes on, like everybody gets like more and more sympathetic. Which I thought was like a really good, I don't know. I just thought it was like a really good way of going about it. This seems like I don't know if this is going to happen, but, there definitely has been kind of like some, a lot of things that I saw about, oh, he should have got nominated for an Oscar for this, which, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I liked it because it was really, like I said, playing on not only expectations of revenge thrillers, you know, in action movies, but also playing on Nicolas Cage's reputation for Cage Rage. Because you're kind of, like, expecting him to just, like, fucking bust out.
They're asking, it's not on Netflix, no.
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. You watch it for free. Yeah, on Hulu.
You might be able to, I'm sure you can probably rent it on Amazon Prime as well.
Yeah, right.
But we watched it on Hulu. It's free on there. So I'm not sure about other streaming services, but that's where we watched it.
Yeah.
But this actually got a limited theatrical release last summer. So I don't know. I think that, I mean, Nicolas Cage got nominated for at the Critics' Choice Awards for Best Actor. But I don't know about Oscar shit. Although that when this came out and it was getting reviewed, like a lot of people were talking about, maybe he should get an Oscar for it, which... You know, I wouldn't be mad. I really liked this movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, and but just, you know, it's kind of better. I don't know. It depends on what kind of person you are, I guess. If you're expecting it to be an action movie and you're going to be pissed off that it's not, then don't watch it.
Yeah.
But if you like being surprised by things, if you like, because I thought it was going to be like John Wick as well. I think I even said that when we were watching it. I said, oh, he's going to go John Wick on a motherfucker.
Yeah, he does.
But he doesn't, and it's. I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
You keep waiting for him to go, but he never does.
Yeah, he goes about things in a much different way. Like you said, it's a very Buddhist type of movie, which, like I said, I really, really liked about it.
If you're a Nicolas Cage fan, you'll like the movie. It's good.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you probably will. Tyler says Nicolas Cage gets no respect. Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
No, he gets respect.
I think he does. Yeah, he does. He kind of, like I said, he's sort of around. He's. Doesn't really like he, because I feel like in the 90s and shit like that, he did, and in the 80s, I guess, he did a lot of kind of big Hollywood movies and stuff. And after a while, he was just kind of like, he didn't like that because it was just too, he thought it was too constricting. Yeah, and he thought, well, you know, it's all about the bottom line, and he didn't really like that. He wanted to do something more interesting or more creative. And so, like I said, you really have to respect that. Even though a lot of movies that he's in, you know, are not that good. I don't know if I'd say a lot, but we've seen some movies that were not that great, but he's always the best thing in it. And like you said, he always like pretty much gives it 110%.
He knows when the movie's shitty.
Yeah.
They could tell him. He probably already has the, he has the instincts. He's like, this is going to be a shitty movie. So, but then he starts fucking going over the top and it so at least he delivers.
Yeah.
Okay. It does make the movie better that he went over the top on it, you know? Even Wicker Man, a lot of people didn't like that. It wasn't as good as the original, but his version of Wicker Man would
it was
have been,
different.
His version of Wicker Man would have fucking blown chunks if he wasn't in it.
It totally wouldn't have worked.
Yeah,
if he
was the best thing about that.
Him being in it made it into like a so bad it's good classic.
Yeah,
like unintentional hilarious.
It would have been forgotten without him in it.
Actually, if since it's Nicolas Cage we're talking about, I don't even know if it was unintentional. Maybe the filmmakers didn't intend it, but Nicolas Cage seemed like he sure intended it.
He knew what he was dealing with.
He's like, this movie sucks a lot. I'm just going to like go way out on a limb and make this the craziest shit ever.
Yeah,
so people will remember it.
Yeah, it worked.
At least fondly in that way.
Had he done that fucking a different way or straight, or had somebody else done that movie, it would have just been forgotten.
Yeah.
He made that movie.
And I mean, look at what he did in Mandy.
Yeah.
Which, god damn it. I fucking love that movie.
That movie is like one of the best movies of all times.
It really is. I just love that. Him just like sitting on the toilet in his underwear, like screaming, like covered in blood and stuff. Just so great.
He is a great actor, but he's also just like a great artist.
Yeah.
He's an artist.
Well, I think that's what really resonated with me about Pig was that... At its heart, it's like, it's not only about, you know, kind of grief and accepting, you know, loss and things like that, but it's also about being real to your artistic self, like not doing things just as a commodity, not doing things just for money, doing things that you're actually like passionate about. And so I think that's like a really cool like through line that goes through the whole movie. And him going around you know, telling people that and getting them to, you know, find their zen or whatever the hell. But I just really, really liked that kind of, like, message. So, like I said, it was really, like, a resonant for me, I think.
Cage would be a trip to have a drink with. I fucking know. I know
he's, Oh, gosh, yeah. Dude, yeah, I would totally like to hang out with Nicolas Cage. I really would. Danny Rowling, he probably is. He's like I said, he's probably a barrel of laughs. So there's honestly, I wouldn't mind hanging out with Keanu either. Actually, wouldn't that be awesome if you can hang out with Nicolas Cage and Keanu?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Keanu Reeves, you just
call us, you guys.
Talk about guns. Probably just talk about guns and motorcycles with him all night.
See, you'd love that.
He likes specifications and numbers. And
see, you'd love
how everything, where things came from.
Tyler says Leaving Las Vegas was my favorite. Yeah, that was a great movie. I mean, he's been in so many fucking good ones. I even liked him in a lot of the 80s ones, like Valley Girl and stuff like that. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I think this one, as far as just our, you know, artistically, this one was going to go down real well. This this movie will, his fans will remember this one.
Yeah, and I mean, it's gotten almost universal praise, I feel like. And it came out, Neon put it out, but I kind of feel, it almost feels like an A24 movie, a little bit.
See, it's kind of an art flick.
It is. It is.
So, you know, fucking, I guess you could say the art film critics will go, oh yes, that's great. And then just, you know, his fans fucking like it, are going to like it just because he's in it. And he does a great job. He's fucking hilarious at it. Even though it's not funny, it's kind of funny. You just got to, it's a movie that's working on a lot of different levels at the same time. You just got to see it.
Well, I love that they took what sounds like an absurd premise and made like this beautiful philosophical meditation about it. I mean, that's so awesome.
Yeah, and you expect it to be an action movie.
I love that.
And
so
you expected it to be an action movie, and it was.
I just love the whole like idea, and I love that somebody.
But it feels like it's going to bust out into an action movie at any time, and they're doing that on purpose.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling Ghostface, what's tomorrow's topic, Jenny? Tomorrow we are going to be talking about the tragic episode in American history known as the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment.
Oh yeah, yeah. Biological experiments on the fucking black dudes.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about that tomorrow night, so I'm sure that'll be real cheerful. Yeah. But, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. That's the kind of show this is.
Yeah.
These are the fun ones, the movie reviews. But, yeah, so we're going to check off, like I said.
You're going to check off? That sounds nasty.
Did you check off or Anton check off?
Okay, yeah.
It's not. Just check off like that or we're leaving. Because we have another movie review we have to record. So be sure to come by tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our regular live stream episode. And we will see you guys then. Bye.